And we had many, many afternoon teas together, encountering each other, or they would walk down the Whittaker's Way from their cottage at the end. And often Sidney Russell would be there, and Sidney often came down as well when he was around. And he was always very, very nice to them, but there was always a little bit of the organizer about him, and it was almost as if he was actually dealing with two children, who of course were older than him anyway. But I mean, he particularly, treated them as if they were very, well, perhaps very nice, genteel young ladies. Let's put it that way. He was always very nice, very polite to them, but he was obviously very organized. And I soon got to know what his job was at Kingsley Hall and so on. And we got to know him very well. And quite often, Sydney would be there when there were lots of quite important visitors that came for tea, afternoon tea. And we would often have afternoon tea with Muriel and Doris, particularly with Muriel and Sydney and quite important political figures who came out to Loughton, because in those days everybody liked to come out to Loughton because it was so green and it was on the central line, which made it easy, still is. And we were able to they would invite us, and we would just talk with these quite eminent politicians, usually socialist politicians, of course. Muriel herself was always walking into the forest. And no matter what else was going on, she always seemed to have an adventure, or at least she called it an adventure, even to the extent of, as she thought on one occasion, being visited by Sister Death when she fell over and twisted her foot on a log, well, a branch really, I suppose, in the forest. And she fell down and was there, I think, for a couple of hours, and she was absolutely thrilled because she was found and rescued by a Boy Scout who had come into the forest with his dog, and he was in Boy Scouts uniform, because we had quite a lot of Boy Scouts in the area at that time. And she praised God because Sister Death had been cheated. She really thought she was going to lie there until she was absolutely, on her last one leg, I think. And lo and behold, this scout came and rescued her, and she thought that was so wonderfully appropriate. So a very nice green and leafy garden. Again, a very quiet spot, and Muriel and Doris would often sit out in the garden when they were there, and just sit in an easy chair, and read or just talk very quietly. They were both so quiet, almost you would say shy. But I mean, I'm sure we all those who knew Muriel and Doris, would know that they weren't really shy at all, but they gave that impression.
What was Doris like?
Doris was the quieter of the two, always smiling, always, in a way, deferred to Muriel, in my experience. So that if Muriel had said something, and Muriel would say, "Oh, Doris, no, you can't do that," and she'd say, "Oh, yes, that's all right, dear. No, that's all right." And I can remember how Doris was just so absolutely in love with every child. And we had three children ourselves, and both Muriel and Doris loved our three when they were babies. And Doris particularly, thinking in terms of nursery education. I know nothing about him, as you've gathered, except that Muriel was often talking about him. Kingsley would have liked this, and Kingsley wouldn't have done that. And I certainly didn't think that he died 40 years before at all. Because she see, it seemed, he seemed very much part of more recent. She had him in her mind very, very clearly. Doris not so, but Muriel did. Muriel would come round and borrow a pair of gloves in midwinter, and Jane would say, "Oh no, you take them. You know, I've got a couple of pairs of gloves. You know, oh no, dear, couldn't possibly do that." And she didn't, but she would borrow them, go out in the forest, probably throw a couple of snowballs, because that's the sort of fun that she liked to have. We often went out in the snow. We get quite a lot of snow here on Baldwin's Hill, and during the winter. And I'm sure probably Muriel wanted to throw a couple of snowballs at Doris, and she borrowed some leather gloves. And
do you think she would have done that?
Oh, I do. She really was full of fun. I mean, she wasn't engaged in a really serious project, of course. She was full of fun, and I think almost more than anybody, I think I really did realise that Christianity could be fun. I mean, so often in my early days, in the 30s and the 40s, Christianity seemed to be quite a very serious thing, and nobody would think of doing anything sort of out of place, and everybody had to be very absolutely serious about really whatever they did, and you accepted that as norm. But when I met Muriel, my wife and I met Muriel, and she was so full of fun and full of beans, and often we took her down to church, to the Union Church, and we'd have such a laugh, and on the way there and on the way back. And I just realised, well, gosh, you know, here's a wonderful Christian lady like Muriel, and like Doris, of course, but they are just such fun to be with.
What did she look like when she went to church?
Oh, dressed very, very smartly, usually having a shawl or something thrown over her, or quite a long scarf thrown round, even over a shawl, and always wore very long clothes, of course. Still looking Edwardian. She always had that bun type of hairstyle, and always looking absolutely immaculate. Never saw her less than that. I mean, even when you saw her sitting up in bed, she always looked absolutely immaculate, and was smiling, and whether she was waiting for Sister Death or not. I think if Sister Death actually had come visibly, Muriel would have given her a good telling off and telling her she's not ready yet. Always got that impression. Oh dear. So.